Hello, it's John Meadows here. This is a special bonus episode of Classic Camera Revival.
Coming to you live from Toronto, Canada, this is the Classic Camera Revival. If you don't have gear acquisition syndrome now, you certainly will after listening to our show.
Because it's Kodak month, in advance of our regular episode later this month, today I have a special guest, Kelly Shane Fuller. And we'll be talking about his success in developing Kodachrome film. Yes, I said Kodachrome film. Now, when processing for Kodachrome stopped being available at the end of 2010, most Kodachrome shooters shed a silent tear and moved on. Not Kelly. He looked at the process, which was now said to be impossible, and said, "Challenge accepted." I spoke with Kelly a while ago about what he's been able to do with processing Kodachrome film. Please note that we had a really bad audio connection, so the sound is a bit tough, but hang in there. I think it's worth listening to Kelly. He's a photographic genius when it comes to processing. Kelly, thanks for being on Classic Camera Revival.
My pleasure.
So, Kelly, you're making a bit of a splash recently by doing what many people have considered impossible, and that was taking Kodachrome film and developing it in color years after the last remaining photo finishing place, Duane's, could do it. Maybe we should start off by saying, like, what makes Kodachrome different from other slide films, and what would make it a challenge to develop as color?
Well, that's an interesting story in and of itself. Kodachrome started out as one of the very first color slide films, originally as a two-color process in 1915, and then later in a three-color, which is what we know as modern Kodachrome, in 1935. What you see in modern C41 and E6 films is what's called an integrated color coupler film, where the actual colored coupling chemicals that create the dyes are part of the film. What makes Kodachrome different is that it is actually a three-layer black and white film with no color couplers at all, and the developing process adds that color to it. So with your modern C41 and E6, the developer's job is just to make those dyes happen, where with Kodachrome, you had to actually add the dyes to it during the process, which makes it a whole lot more difficult to process.
And so when Duane's announced that, I think, was it 2010?
Yeah, December of 2010.
I've actually got a souvenir T-shirt from them commemorating the end of Kodachrome, when they said they would not be processing anymore. And then after that, there was a whole lot of Kodachrome floating around that people, like some people would try developing as black and white. But the conventional wisdom was that it was no longer possible to develop it because the dyes were not available. So what inspired you to try to do the impossible?
Not take no for an answer when somebody tells me I can't do something. Duane and Kodak discontinued the process because the yellow dye coupler became unavailable due to its toxicity. And once they ran out of that chemical, nobody was producing it anymore. I have, for years, always wanted to reproduce this process, but never been able to find a coupler until recently somebody tipped me off to a color coupling paper toner that happened to contain these cyan, magenta, and yellow couplers that you would need to do Kodachrome in color. And from there, I just kind of ran away with it.
And so you now have all three dye couplers?
I have all three dye couplers, though they are not the original Kodak couplers, which has caused me some problems in my process. As we sit right now, the couplers are probably not archivally stable, but they're definitely producing a color image.
And so tell me a bit more about the process you use, because, you know, could the Kodachrome, the conventional wisdom was that you could never home develop a Kodachrome because it had something like 27 separate steps.
It has tons and tons of separate steps. It's not like your typical color film where you expose it in the camera, you develop it, you bleach it, and you fix it, and you're done. Kodachrome has three entirely separate color or black and white film layers in it. There's a red, a green, and a blue. And then those are separated by a remjet backing on the back and then a Karelia silver layer in the middle that masks the last layer. So the processing for it by hand becomes pretty difficult. First, you end up having to develop it as a black and white negative, which gives you the mask to create your positive. During that stage, the developer will loosen the remjet,
And in complete darkness, you have to scrub the remjet off the back of the film. And the remjet is a carbon goo that's very easy to get everywhere. I've gotten it all over my hands, all over my dark room. But you have to remove that completely before you can move on to the next step. Then after that, you have to expose it to a very narrow spectrum red light through the back layer only. We're re-exposing just the red layer of the film. After that, you'll develop it to its complementary color with a cyan coupler and cyan developer. That will also not only develop the cyan layer of the image, but also develops the Karelia silver, which masks off the magenta layer. After you've done the cyan layer, you then re-expose it again through the front of the film to blue light, and then you do the yellow development coupler, which is the complementary color to the blue layer. At that point, you have on the back side of your film a cyan image, and on the front side of your film a yellow image. In the middle layer, you have a completely masked off magenta layer, which has been causing me some issues in my development because the Karelia silver has completely masked it on one side and the cyan layer has masked it on the other side. I have to expose it for a really long time to very bright white light to get it to expose at all. Once I've done that re-exposure, I then have to do the magenta coupler development, and then I end up doing a bleach and fix to remove all of the original silver mask that you developed in the initial stage. And if you pull all of that off in complete darkness, you end up with a Kodachrome slide.
So how many minutes does it take to develop a roll using your process?
My best development time so far has been 45 minutes.
Wow.
When I first started out, it was taking me an hour and a half to process one roll.
And how were the first couple of attempts using this?
Awful. Horrible. They were in color, certainly, but the color layers were coming out completely the wrong color. When I first announced it and showed my first kind of teaser image, it was a photograph of my cell phone showing the day's date, and my hands were blue and the phone was green. So it was in color, but it wasn't anywhere near what you would expect.
But you obviously got more and more successful. I think I saw a picture of you have like a 1950s car.
I do. I have a 54 Plymouth. That's my test image car.
And the colors look pretty faithful, assuming your car is red.
My car is red, and that picture that you're referring to is absolutely in great color with great balance. And as I've been going through the process, I'm getting it kind of refined down to something that's fairly repeatable. I've had several successful attempts. I'm coming to the point where I will probably be able to develop it confidently here pretty soon.
Now, since you've announced your findings to the world, have people asked you when you're going to start commercializing this, or have you had people beg you to develop film?
I have had both. I've had several people beg me to start a Kickstarter fund and immediately open a lab and start developing all of this. I've had people tell me they're going out and stocking up on Kodachrome on eBay. I've had people beg me to run rolls for them. I won't say that those are impossible goals, but until I get it to where I can get consistent results every single roll, I don't want to touch somebody else's film. And at 45 minutes a roll, it's not going to be real viable to do it on a large scale basis until I can find a way to make it faster.
Is there any possibility to use a Jobo or anything like that? Or because of the specialized way for the re-exposures, is that really force you to do it with a standard reel and by hand?
I do use a Jobo for the developing step.
Okay.
Where it's just running in the chemicals, but as far as the re-exposures, I have to take it into the dark room and expose it completely by hand, and I don't think there's going to be any way around that using something like a Jobo. I would have to build something custom.
It's funny, you were talking about how messy the remjet is, and I remember because I did develop a couple of rolls of Kodachrome as black and white, and so I could clean the remjet off at the end, and I just use like a borax solution. But boy, that stuff is messy.
It is, and it's a lot easier to clean off at the end when you're doing it as black and white, because then you can do it in light. I have to do that whole process completely blind and just hope I don't cover myself in carbon dust.
How can you tell in the dark that you've got all the remjet off?
Dumb luck, mostly. I remove it by squeezing it between my fingers. If you run it through the first developer, it gets very, very soft. And I squeegee it between my fingers five or six times and hope for the best. So far, it's come off all the way every time, but that's not a foolproof method.
And you were saying that the concern you might have is that there could be some archival questions?
Yeah, the couplers that I'm using are not at all designed to do this. They're designed for toning paper. And even then, people have said that may not be archivally stable. Their chemical makeup is way different than the actual Kodachrome couplers. So only time's going to be able to tell at this point.
Now, have you had anyone from Kodak be interested or comment on what you're doing?
I have not heard anything from anybody at Kodak. Just very, very excited fans.
And so you were saying that people have begged you to do a Kickstarter. Is that at all possible, or do you think this remains just like you're doing it because, you know, it's quite an accomplishment? Like that, this is like the Mount Rushmore of of obsolete film processing.
I won't say it's impossible. It would really depend on what it was I was kickstarting. At the point that I'm at right now, if I were to kickstart a home development kit, I am not certain anybody else could pull this off in their own darkrooms. It's pretty much a monumental task. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say kickstarting a Kodachrome lab would be impossible, but it would be a big kickstart, I think.
Yeah, it would be. I guess one possibility would be if the archival properties remain an open question, it could be, you know, developed, then once a person gets the slides back, scan them immediately, and then the scan sort of become the finished product.
Yes, absolutely. Another option would be that they can be printed using like an RA4 reversal process, or you could even really repeat the same Kodachrome development process on a piece of black and white paper and produce it that way.
Mm-hmm. When you're shooting the Kodachrome, are you shooting it at box speed, or like what compensation do you have to do?
I have been shooting it at box speed. I was gifted about 2 years back about 100 rolls of Kodachrome 64 that have just been sitting in my freezer waiting for me to figure out a way to develop it. And I was very lucky that this film shows absolutely no aging. It shoots like brand new film.
It must have been so exciting the first time it really worked.
It absolutely was. You can ask my wife. I was jumping up and down quite the skinny little schoolboy when I actually pulled that first one out of the tank.
Now, I know that not too long after Duane stopped developing Kodachrome, there was one guy in somewhere in Europe, I don't know the details, who was like an...
He's in Australia or New Zealand, I forget which.
Yeah, because he's an industrial chemist.
He managed to pull it up. Yes, and he also, I believe, runs a professional film lab. And he was able to bulk order the yellow coupler that is so hard to get and reproduce basically the actual Kodachrome chemistry and run some limited runs of Kodachrome that way.
And I believe also he publicly stated that he was not interested in starting a business.
He publicly stated he was not interested in doing it, and it was too difficult of a process.
Well, it would be interesting to see where this could go, because you still see Kodachrome for sale on eBay.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And I think I've got a roll or two in my freezer just sort of saved, hoping against hope someday.
I know a lot of people do. I've had people coming out of the woodwork saying they have this one roll in their freezer just for this day.
I wonder if the price of Kodachrome is going to go up as a result of this.
I've been keeping an eye on it. I'd be interested to see. I think until I can release something that more people can do, it just remains the internet curiosity, but who knows.
Are you planning on shooting a lot more Kodachrome for your own purposes, just for fun?
I'm really hoping to. I recently... just this last weekend, visited Vancouver, BC, and I took a roll with me and shot it up there. And I'd like to be able to trust it more. Unfortunately, a lot of what I shoot is for professional purposes, and I can't yet trust it to a process that I can't repeat 100% of the time, but I'm really hoping I can.
Now, the color dyes that you got, was it like a friend or someone who let you know about them, or where did that idea come from?
It's one of those things I've been kind of Googling and keeping an ear out for the last 2 or 3 years, because it's a process I really wanted to try to conquer. A friend of mine who does a lot more darkroom printing than I tend to do mentioned that he had had good success with this new color toner that he found, and that he thought it was based on some sort of dye coupler that led me the clues I needed to find it myself and eventually try the process.
Well, that's very cool. So, Kelly, I'd like to thank you for being on the show. This is a really exciting announcement. And, you know, even if you decide just to stop where it is and not commercialize this, I think you certainly made a name for yourself for doing what people said couldn't be done.
Well, thank you.
Well, that brings us to the end of this special bonus episode of Classic Camera Revival. In about a week's time, a bit over a week, we'll have our regular episode with Alex, Donna, and Mike. So, we'll see you in a week. Take it easy.